Jesus is raised from the dead, and He will raise us too. He promises, I go to prepare a place for you. Now that is a marvelous promise. That means you and I know the future. And when you know the future, it sure changes the way you live right now. Now is merely the time to get ready, to get prepared, to practice for what is yet to come.
That's the Reverend Dr. Alan Hunt. I'm Peter Wallace, and this is a new day of faith and hope. This is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the program that brings you outstanding Protestant preachers from across America, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your world. Now, here's your host, Peter Wallace, to introduce this week's preacher.
Thanks, Sherry. Today we welcome for the last of his four program series, the Reverend Dr. Alan Hunt, Senior Minister of Mount Pisgah United Methodist Church in Alpharetta, Georgia. He is also host of The Alan Hunt Show every Sunday evening on our flagship station, News Talk 750 WSB in Atlanta. Alan, welcome back to Day One.
Pleasure to be here, Peter.
Mount Pisgah is, what, 175 years?
175, started in 1831.
What is the secret of keeping it so vibrant and on the cutting edge of serving your community?
I think that Mount Pisgah is a really unique place in being able to have achieved that, to be 175 years old and to have grown into the dynamic ministry that it is. I think there are several keys. The first one really is simple but true, and that's prayer, to have an active, vibrant prayer life. And secondly, is to have a very clear mission that our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ, and the church doesn't exist for us. The church exists for others. And specifically, the church exists for those who don't yet know Jesus Christ, and to keep ourselves focused on that mission in everything that we do so that we continually remind ourselves that it's not about us, it's about the world, and it's about our community, and to keep folks focused on that. And then thirdly, I think, is really finding ways to equip and enable the lay people in the congregation to discover their ministries and to be joyfully about that in serving the community and serving each other, so that that maintains that vibrancy rather than looking to the staff to take care of the congregation, but looking at the congregation as being in ministry.
So you are senior minister of this United Methodist Church. You host a weekly radio talk show, and you still manage to have time to write books as well. You have a new one that's just out about forgiveness. Tell us about that.
Correct. As a part of our radio show on Sunday nights, we have the tagline of the radio show is where real life and faith come together. So we decided to do a series of small books that we would call gallon-sized faith in a pint-sized book, little books that deal with real life and faith kinds of stuff. And so the first one is on forgiveness, because I really am convinced that forgiveness lies at the heart of a lot of our spiritual issues, our inability to forgive each other, our lack of trust that God really has forgiven us, our inability to forgive ourselves. And so in this one, it's really a very simple book, not profound. I'm not a very profound person. I've gathered 10 of what I think 10 of the most powerful forgiveness stories that I know, and put those together, one or two from my own life and just some different other kinds of folks, and put those together and drawn some simple lessons about the incredible power of forgiveness in our lives.
Alan, tell us about your family and the fun things you all like to do together.
I have a very grace-filled life, Peter. I have two daughters, one who's a senior and getting ready to go to college, one who's a sophomore. They're both driving now. Pray for me. And I have a wife who got engaged to a businessman and then ended up marrying a preacher. I changed the rules on her in mid-relationship. And she has been a remarkable blessing. And my girls are both a delight. We enjoy a lot of things. We enjoy reality TV.
I bet you could make a great reality program.
Well, we like Dancing with the Stars. I don't know that there would be a very good reality program on the life of a preacher. But we enjoy playing together and just really being together. We're a very close-knit bunch. We travel together. Very seldom do Anita and I do things on our own. We really enjoy and see the time that we have with our girls is precious, because we've really begun to discover that our first daughter will soon be leaving, mm-hmm. and life will change. And so we're trying to enjoy that as much as we can.
Well, today we conclude your series on God's promises, which so far have included, I love you, I forgive you, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. And your sermon today will focus on God's promise, I prepare a place for you. Of course, the Bible records many more promises than these four. Why did you decide to focus on these four in particular?
Well, that's part of the joy of being the preacher. You get to pick the promises you like best. And to me, these are the four most basic ones. Mm-hmm. You know, to simply remind folks, A, of God's love, B, His incredible forgiveness, C, His continual presence with us, and then lastly, in this one, the fact that He has a place for us, that we have an eternal home, and that eternity is real, and that there is something beyond this world, because even as Christians, we sometimes get kind of consumed by this world, this life, this body, this stuff, to try to take ourselves out of that for a moment to give ourselves an eternal perspective, because that really does change who you are and how you live.
This fourth promise comes from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. Would you read the passage for us?
Sure. Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am.
Put this passage in context for us. Who's Jesus talking to here, and why are they so troubled?
Well, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's been sharing with them exactly what's about to happen. He shared with them that he's going to be arrested and die. He shared with them that Peter is going to deny him. He shared with them that everything that they know is getting ready to crumble right around them, and they're not even aware of it. And so he speaks these words of reassurance to them to remind them that God really is in control, that God really does hold the future, and that the basic lessons he'd been teaching them about eternity and about God's abiding presence really are true. And I couldn't help thinking about that as I preached this today with you, Peter. One of my dear friends passed away this morning, and thinking about her and the surety of that promise, that indeed God does prepare a place for us, and that really the rest of our lives are based on that promise.
Well, Alan, we look forward to hearing more about this promise in your sermon today, God's Promises for You, Part 4, I Prepare a Place for You. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. I don't know what you call that place, but it is a fun place to be. A place of anticipation, celebration, rejoicing, reunion. Do you know what they call it? Greeting area, maybe? Receiving area? Welcome center? You know, most airports have one, that place where friends and family members wait. In the Atlanta airport, the one I'm most familiar with, it's at the top of the escalator, that long escalator that's several stories long. At the top of that escalator, people wait, friends and family, for their loved ones to arrive from the gates. The escalator turns. One by one, folks get off, and they're met by people holding signs with eager looks, big eyes, anticipation on their faces, some holding balloons, some holding flowers, limo drivers with name cards, Hunt, Johnson, Smith, waiting for that grandmother to arrive from Fort Wayne, for that son coming home from Afghanistan, for the husband returning from the Madrid business trip, for the friend in town for the weekend. That unnamed area is teeming with excited folks waiting for the newest arrivals. I love that place. I love to watch, and I love to listen. The squeals of joy, the roars of laughter, the hugs and embraces, the twirling arounds. It's a happy reunion place where everybody's waiting for the newest arrivals. That's kind of how I imagine heaven. Max Lucado calls heaven a maternity ward. I like that. Angels passing out cigars, horns rejoicing, each time a new arrival pops onto the scene. I'm not sure if I get to pick the people who will greet me there, but if I did, I'd probably want Moses and Rahab, Mary, Paul, John Wesley, Thomas Aquinas and his big old bad self, and Martin Luther King Jr. to greet me. That's who I'd pick. And my dad, my grandmother who loved me unconditionally, and my dear friend Paul. Oh, imagine the joy to arrive at the top of the escalator to be met by that team, led by Jesus with his arms outstretched saying, "Welcome home." Just thinking about that is like Easter on any day of the year. You know, Easter is the centerpiece of our faith. It really needs more than one Sunday a year, doesn't it? I mean, Jesus is raised from the dead and he will raise us too. He promises, "I go to prepare a place for you." Now that is a marvelous promise. I go to prepare a place for you. Wow! That means you and I know the future. And when you know the future, it sure changes the way you live right now. Now is merely the time to get ready, to get prepared, to to practice for what is yet to come. Because you know at least three things. First, you know we have a home. We have a home. Jesus has prepared a place for you and for me. In my Father's house are many rooms, many mansions, many homes. It's a wonderful feeling to have a place prepared just for you, isn't it? I was dating Anita, and I had begun to realize that this was it. She was the one for me. So on our first Thanksgiving together, I decided to take her to meet my grandmother, the one who had loved me unconditionally. Kind of surprised my parents that I would take Anita to meet my grandmother before she met my parents, but that was where I loved to spend Thanksgiving. So we drove the 8 hours to that little town of about 500 or 1,000 on the Ohio River where she had lived her whole life, to the house where she had been for over 50 years. And when we arrived, it was clear that she had prepared a place for us, just for us. When we pulled up, the door opened and a tiny little 95-pound woman hugged and kissed Anita, whom she had never met before. It was clear that my grandmother had made up her mind to love my Anita before she ever met her. As we entered the tiny little four-room house, I could smell supper from the kitchen. The table was set. Everything that I like was on the table. She had prepared it just for me. Minutes later, my mom's cousin, her only other living relative, and her husband arrived. Surprise! We hadn't known they were coming either. They had driven 4 hours just to be with us and to meet Anita. Grandmother had done everything imaginable to prepare a place for us. The house was ready. The table was set. Dinner was prepared. Friends were invited. Her countenance was set, and waiting for our arrival, she stood at the door and waited, looking for us to come. She had prepared a place for us. That, my friends, is a terrific feeling. And Jesus promises to do that for you. That's the fourth promise of God. I prepare a place for you. John 14, verses 1 through 3. Because we have a home prepared just for us. The table is set. The home is ready. He is anticipating your arrival. He has a place for you. A home. We also know that we need to RSVP. The truth must be faced. It is unavoidable, whether it's comfortable or not. You must let Jesus know that you're coming. The scriptures are clear. The home is prepared. The invitation has been issued. People are waiting. The table is set. The home is ready. All you do is let Jesus know. Jesus, you are Lord. Make me yours so that I may live with you in my new home forever. The message is clear. It's time to prepare right now. The time to RSVP is now. There is no admission without it. And we also know that we will see God. I mean, the book of Revelation describes it wonderfully. The coolest thing won't be the greeting team who awaits your arrival, as wonderful as that will be, nor the splendor you will behold, although Scripture paints a delightful picture. The great high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels, gates composed of large pearls, a city that lies four square with a wall of jasper, a city pure gold, clear as glass. Foundations of the wall being adorned with jewels, jasper, sapphire, agate, emerald, onyx, carnelian, chrysolite, beryl, topaz, jacinth, chrysoprase, amethyst. Notice that there is no sun or moon because God is the light. His radiance, His beauty covers all that is. The gates are never shut. There are no guards needed. If you look over there, you'll see the river of the water of life that flows from the throne of God right through the middle of the street of the city. Over there is the throne. Around it is a rainbow. And around that throne are 24 more thrones, 24 elders seated with white garments and golden crowns. Surrounding the throne are four more living creatures, the lion, the ox, the face of man, and the eagle. And if you listen carefully, you can hear their unending song, "Holy, holy, holy." Near the one seated on the throne is the Lamb, standing as though he's been slain. And around them all stand the countless angels and the multitude from every nation and tribe wearing white robes, waving palms. Hear their sweet melody as they sing, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. To you be blessing and honor and glory and might." As wonderful as that is, the best is yet to come. You will see God. You will see Him in His three-in-oneness self. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is worthy to be praised, and that is exactly what we will do in heaven. He who made heaven and earth will be praised. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Holy Spirit that was poured out on all of God's creation. We will praise God. That is what we will do in heaven. And when we practice now, that's what we're doing. We're getting ready to be in the presence of God, to move into that new home where we will see God. Eileen moved down to Georgia from Minnesota to be with her daughter and family. Her health had deteriorated where she wasn't able to live by herself anymore. She dreaded the move. She'd lived her whole life in Minnesota, but one of the things that excited her about moving to Georgia was being able to come to our church with her family. She loved to worship in our church each time she was in town. So she joyfully made our church her church home. I still remember the day when Eileen, in her wheelchair, came down front to join our church family. And as I introduced her to the church family, there in her little wheelchair, Eileen raised her arms, almost like Rocky, after the battle, shaking her arms in victory that she was a part of this family of God. Her health decline continued, and one day, not so long ago, she had a vision. Her daughter, who I'll call Jenny, captured that vision for me in an email. She said, "Last April 11th, I went in to wake Mom for church, and she told me she wouldn't be going. When I asked her what was wrong and if she felt okay, she said she felt fine, but that the Lord was there to take her. She said she didn't hurt at all and actually hadn't felt that good in a while. She described a mist that she could feel on her skin. She said she saw a light, but not as bright as some described. 15 minutes later, she saw my dad and her best friend. She said, "There's Dad and Joanne. They don't see each other or know why they're there, but they're there to greet me." She would point off to a corner and tell me Jesus was there waiting. She told me she would miss the girls and me, but not to be sad because she would always be watching and would see all of us again someday. She had her eyes closed through most of this. When I asked her to look at me, she told me she could feel me and hear me, but her eyes were only for God now. Jenny sent me the email the day her mom, Eileen, my good friend, moved into her new home. They often wondered over the last 6 months why she didn't die that Sunday morning. I don't know the answer to that, but I do know where she is now, in her new home. Prepared just for her. Prepared just for you. I prepare a place for you. Jesus said it, and that is God's sure promise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please pray with me. Eternal God, we love you and we honor you. We look forward to that day when we will see you face to face. You are our God. We are your people, now and forever, world without end. Amen.
Now let's rejoin our host, Peter Wallace and Alan Hunt, for some final thoughts on this week's sermon.
Alan, thanks for a hopeful and a joyful message. But let me ask you sort of an obvious question. If we know the future, if we believe this promise of God, that we have a place prepared in heaven for us, what should we do to prepare for it and why?
I think one simple thing to prepare for it is to remind ourselves of that promise each day. So to perhaps even start each day with a simple reminder, I have a place prepared for me. I do have an eternal home, and today I will spend preparing for that. I will spend part of the day today treating people well. I will spend part of the day today thanking God and worshiping God because that's preparing me for that home. And so simply to remind ourselves of that promise each day really kind of changes your outlook for what that day will hold.
Your story about going to your grandmother's for Thanksgiving when your wife first met her was beautiful, but some folks listening may not have had such glowing experiences with their own family. Are there ways that they can catch a glimpse of what a heavenly homecoming might be?
Sure. I think that some of us don't come from whole, healthy families, and the church, when it's at its best, you can experience some portion of that as well. if you have a good small group, a good Bible study group, perhaps a lot of folks go on the spiritual retreat called Walk to Emmaus or Crecio or Tres Dias, depending on the group that offers that, to really get a sense of what it's like to be a part of a group of believers who really unconditionally love each other. And oftentimes in those moments, the overwhelming grace of God breaks in and we're able to break through that. And I've seen other people experience that as well in Celebrate Recovery and in 12-step groups and things where they find a place of healing, they find a place of grace, and they begin to discover what Christian community feels like and knowing that I have a place, I really belong here. But you're right. My grandmother, Ophie was her name. Ophie Maud. How's that for a name? What a delight she was. Mm-hmm. What a delight.
You said that we need to RSVP to Jesus' invitation to heaven. Is it just that simple to let Jesus know we're coming, or do we bear some sort of responsibility in life to live out that RSVP?
Yes. you think that's an either-or question, but yes. I'm not trying to be coy with you. It is as simple as that in terms of simply responding to Jesus and welcoming him in. Into my life and into my heart, yes, Lord, I do belong to you. Once that happens, when we're earnest and we truly say, Lord, I realize that I fall short of who you want me to be, then he begins to do his work in us and he begins to change us, and we will see that lived out in other ways. But it begins as simply as doing that RSVP. Then there's life change that occurs after that that prepares us and that does indeed show the fruit of that faith.
Bible students and scholars have debated forever about whether the descriptive language of the new heavens in the Revelation of John should be taken literally or figuratively. Do you think our human minds can truly comprehend what it will be like?
We have no idea, Peter. We have absolutely no idea. You won't often hear a preacher say that, but we have no idea. Who in the world could describe the glory of God in human words? Who in the world could describe what eternity when you and I live in space and time, how in the world can we possibly describe what eternity is going to be like? And how in the world can we describe the spiritual realm? All we can do is give our best use of human language to describe something that's beyond us.
And we know it's going to be pretty spectacular.
It's going to be all right.
Alan Hunt, thank you so much for being with us these past 4 weeks.
It has been fun, Peter. Thank you.
Day One brings you preachers from the United Methodist Church, the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, the Episcopal Church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the Presbyterian Church USA, and the United Church of Christ. Day One is produced by the Alliance for Christian Media, the Reverend Canon Louis Schutick, President. Donald Jones is our production supervisor and audio engineer, and Peter Wallace, our executive producer. It's been our joy to bring you today's program. Thanks for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on day one and forever.